Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today's the end of my third week of teaching on knowing God. And you know, I could just go back and say everything I've said all over again because to me this is so important. So many people know God as Savior, but they don't know Him intimately. They don't know who He is. And you can prove that by the way that they react to things. You know, I go to our meetings and I always go out an hour before the service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave the service. I have a lot of interaction with people and I talk to them. And I don't mean this in a critical way, but so many of the people who come up to me and tell me what their situation is. And as they describe where they are and what their need is, you know, I could just give them this teaching. They just don't know God. They are deceived by religion into thinking that God has caused the problems in their life. They aren't sure if God wants to heal them and prosper them. They think maybe God's the one that's causing their marriage to fall apart. None of those things are true. And that comes because people don't know God. They know that He exists. But I tell you, for you to really connect with God, you need to go beyond just knowing that He exists and that He's provided salvation. You need to know Him personally. And this is what we've been talking about. This last week, I've been taking 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, and the last few days I've focused on 2 Corinthians 5:16, where it says, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth now know we Him no more." And Paul here was talking about how he lived his life and how he related to God, how he knew God. And he was saying, I don't know Him just based on my intellect, just based on my five senses, my ability to perceive. I know Him based on what I know in my heart. And this is a hard thing for me to discuss and get across to the average person because the average person does not really perceive and walk by the Spirit very much. Most people are totally driven and dominated by their five senses, and this is just totally strange and foreign to people, talking about knowing something in your heart. And yet I believe the ability to know God through the Spirit, based on faith in our heart, is infinitely greater than our ability to know Him just based on physical things. I could say it this way, I've said this already this week, that the number one hindrance in people knowing God is the fact that we are so carnal, that we are dominated by our five senses, and our spiritual ability to function and perceive and know things is nearly like our appendix in our body. You know, at one time the doctors say that the appendix probably serves some purpose, but it's de-evolved to where it doesn't really do anything today. Well, at one time, God created mankind with the ability to walk by faith and to see through faith, and yet most people, it's like the appendix. It's just ceased to function. It's not working. They are just totally limited to what they can see with their physical eyes, and that is not the way that God made us to be. Let me take some examples from Scripture and just illustrate this to you. Let me make a broad statement and then I'll come back and I'll explain this in more detail. But after Jesus rose from the dead, He never appeared to a person after His resurrection who wasn't already a believer. He could have just walked down the streets of Jerusalem and physically have shown people that He rose from the dead. I mean, the crucifixion of Jesus was the dominant thing that happened just 3 days before that. The city was crowded with pilgrims from all different nations. There was hundreds of thousands of people. I don't know if you've ever been to Jerusalem, but even today you walk through the busy streets of Jerusalem, some of those market streets in the old city, and I mean you are shoulder to shoulder with people. If Jesus would have walked through there, those people saw Him crucified, and to see Him resurrected and to touch Him, what kind of an impact do you think that would have made? And yet He never did that. Jesus never showed Himself to anybody except people who already believed. And here's the point I'm wanting to get across. In every post-resurrection of Jesus, there isn't a single instance where the people recognized him. Now that's a radical statement, and I'm going to go through and show you a bunch of them. And at first, you may disagree with that, but I'll go through and show you that at first, in every single instance, there was a hesitancy on the part of the people who were seeing Jesus to believe and accept that this was Jesus. One of the classic examples of this is in Luke chapter 24. This is on the very first resurrection day. The women had already been to the tomb, had seen the vision of the angels, had reported to the rest of the disciples that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And so all this information had already gone forth. And it says in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." So in other words, they weren't distracted talking about something else. They were talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, and more specifically about the reports that he had risen from the dead. Angels had appeared to the women and told them that he was risen from the dead. And so in verse 15, "It came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." So here they are. These are disciples of the Lord. It doesn't tell us specifically who they were, but they were certainly close disciples with the Lord. As soon as this instance is over, they went back to Jerusalem immediately and went in with the 12 apostles. So these were not distant disciples of the Lord, people that didn't really know him or whatever, but these were people that knew him intimately, had been with him hundreds and hundreds of times, had seen him minister. And here they were talking about the resurrection, but expressing their doubt. It says they were reasoning. And you know what? Again, the word reasoning is referring to just they were using their mental abilities. They were going by what they saw, what they felt. They saw Jesus crucified. They knew that people didn't rise from the dead. Jesus has been dead for 3 days, and they were reasoning, trying to factor all of these things in. And it says that in verse 16, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." If they would have recognized who it was walking with them, did you know that all of their sadness would have been gone? Later, Jesus, when he finally talked to him in verse 17, he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Now, that's quite a commentary on what they were saying. They were talking about all of the things that, you know, there's a report that Jesus is raised from the dead. There's a report that two angels says he was risen from the dead. There was a report of all of these things, but they hadn't really believed it because it says that they were sad. They were sad. They loved God, and yet they just could not bring themselves to believe that Jesus was really raised from the dead. They had seen him just mutilated. They had seen him physically destroyed, buried, put behind the stone, and they weren't accepting. They might have longed to believe it, but they didn't believe it because it says that they were still sad. If they would have really believed it, they would have been rejoicing. So Jesus said, "What kind of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Now get this, here they were discussing the right things, but they were discussing it in unbelief because they were sad. They hadn't embraced it. They weren't rejoicing at this. Their sadness would have been turned into joy unspeakable and full of glory. They would have been overwhelmed if they just would have recognized who Jesus was. And again, I point out, these weren't distant disciples that didn't know him closely. These were people that should have recognized Jesus, and he was walking with them, and they didn't even recognize him. And you know what? This is not limited to this instance. As we go through and talk about all the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, in every single instance, the people struggled to believe that this was God, that this was Jesus risen from the dead. Now, this is an amazing fact to me. And it illustrates the point that I've been making all of this week, that you can't know Jesus just in physical ways. You can't just perceive him with your mind. You can't just perceive him based on your eyes and your ears and your feeling. Now see, at one time, that's the way they had related to Jesus. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying, 2 Corinthians 5:16. that at one time we knew Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. At one time they were familiar with Jesus just based on the physical body, the mannerisms, but they didn't know him, who he was in the spirit. Now here he is resurrected, and he had a glorified body that I am convinced looked the same way. Because later, this same day, Jesus went back to Jerusalem and appeared unto the disciples. And when they saw him, it says in verse 37, this is Luke 24:37, they were affrighted, they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Jesus was in the flesh here. He still had a physical body. And if you were to compare this with John chapter 20, in that instance, he told Thomas, he says, put forth your finger and stick them into the palms of my hands, and put your hand into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. So Jesus still had the print of the nails in his hands. He still had the wound in his side where the spear had pierced him. So that means that his physical body hadn't really changed. You could still see it. And yet they were looking at him and didn't recognize him. How was that? Well, notice right here it says in the 16th verse, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, I believe that their eyes were opened. It wasn't like all of a sudden they got something that covered their eyes and they couldn't see. They were walking on the road to Emmaus, and then after this they walked back. Their eyes were open, but they were not able to perceive who Jesus was. And you know what, I'm going to just say this real straight, and then I'll take some other scriptures that will try and verify this and explain it. But Jesus was now in a spiritual form. It wasn't only a vision. It wasn't like if you reached out to touch him that you could put your hand through him and it was like an apparition or a hologram or something that wasn't real. Jesus was real. He says, touch me. I have flesh and bones. But it was no longer just physical. It was now a glorified spiritual body. And the scripture says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot discern spiritual things in carnal ways. You have to know spiritual things in your spirit. You know, this is so simple what I'm saying, that you got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. But it is so different than what most people live, that most people do have trouble misunderstanding this. We've had a lot of help being just limited to and dominated by only physical things in this thought of knowing something. And I mean being more confident of something that you can't see than something that you can see is foreign to most people. But this is what the Bible is talking about, walking by faith. This is how we know God. And this is saying that the natural man, just talking about your brain, your five senses, with your little peanut brain, you cannot know spiritual things. And there are a lot of people that are missing God. They're missing relationship with God because they have become so highly educated in the physical, natural things, but spiritually speaking, they are dunces. They are just retarded. They don't have any ability to perceive in the spiritual realm. They got the ability. God gave it to us, but they haven't developed it. And this is saying that you just cannot perceive the spiritual things through natural means. Jesus was now in a resurrected body, and even though he still had the print of the nails in his hand and the print of the spear in his side, he was now spiritual in form, and they could not perceive him with just their five senses. I don't know if this rings your bell the way it does mine, but what this does for me, it shows me, it illustrates what I've been trying to say about how that you have to know God through your heart, not just through some physical thing. So many people are praying that God would reveal himself to them, but then they are looking for an you know, a feeling, a goosebump, an angel to appear, a glory cloud, an audible voice. They're wanting a dog to walk up and bark out instructions and something physical, tangible that they can touch. And I tell you, even though God has manifested himself through angels, even though there have been audible voices, I believe God can do anything. That is not normal. I've never had that happen to me. It's not going to happen to most of us. We are going to have to know God through our spirit. We're going to have to perceive by our spirit and not in some physical, tangible way. Did you know that this same story is reported in Mark's account over in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark? But Mark reduces this whole instance that's recorded at length in Luke's account. Mark reduces it to one verse. In Mark 16:12, it says, "After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country." Now, this didn't mean that it was another form like it wasn't human or another human form, because again, I refer back to Luke chapter 24, and in verse 39, he said he had physical flesh and bone. And then in John chapter 20, he told Thomas to put his finger into the print of the nails and thrust his hand into his side. He still had the scars. That meant that it was the same body. It's not like Jesus looked different. You know, I don't know how to describe this. This goes beyond logic. But based on all of these, and I'm going to show you a bunch of other resurrection appearances where the exact same thing happened. Based on all of this, Jesus looked the same, and yet you couldn't perceive that it was Jesus based on just your sense knowledge. You had to perceive him on the spirit level. You had to perceive him by spirit. Again, I refer to the verse in John 4:24 that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here was Jesus standing in front of these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He walked with them for 7 miles. We don't know exactly how much of that time, but you know, 7 miles, it takes about 2 hours to walk 7 miles. It was probably a lengthy period of time because there was quite a discussion here. And for probably minutes, maybe an hour or more, these people were walking and looking at Jesus, the one that if they could have perceived who it was, their sadness would have turned to joy in a heartbeat. Man, they would have been just over the moon rejoicing and praising God. Jesus was with them the whole time, and they didn't perceive it. Let me make a parallel that, you know what, today Jesus is with you. If you're born again and if you're spirit-filled, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is with you, and every time you felt like God was a million miles away, he was never gone. It's only your perception that changes. These disciples, their eyes were holden. That word holden in the Greek means to use strength, to seize or retain. Their eyes, their attention, you could say, the attention of their heart wasn't focused on trying to believe. Instead, they were just seized, held with strength by all of the natural things, the fact that they had seen Jesus crucified and all of this. And because of it, they couldn't perceive who was with them. Likewise, you and I get so occupied with the cares of this life. We get to thinking about what this person says, what the doctor said, what happened to this person and they died, and we get to thinking on that, and we become so carnally dominated in our thinking that even though God is with us and never leaves us nor forsakes us, we go along reasoning among ourselves. Our eyes are holding and we don't perceive that Jesus is with us. That's exactly what was happening to these disciples. Jesus was the same, except he had to be perceived spiritually. Again, I refer back to those verses, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to perceive it by the Spirit. Now that Jesus is in his glorified body, he is with us. But you just can't see him. He's with us. He's with me constantly. But I have to perceive it by my spirit. I haven't ever seen Jesus with my physical eyes. I haven't ever seen an angel. I've never heard with my ears an audible voice. But I have seen God. I see him with me all of the time. I've heard the voice of God. God speaks to me and leads me, and yet I've never seen those things in my physical. It's all through the Spirit. And some people think, well, I wished it was physical. What I'm trying to say is that you can actually know God better through your heart than you could through your five senses. Here's people that knew Jesus with their five senses, and yet when he became glorified, and he was no longer limited to that human body, but now he had the glorified body, the five senses weren't enough. They were walking with him and didn't recognize him. I'm telling you that knowing God has to be done through the Spirit. It has to be done by faith. And these are scriptural examples of it. So they walked for nearly 2 hours. They went to this city of Emmaus. And while they walked, Jesus upbraided them and told them, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Ought not Jesus to have suffered these things and to be glorified?" And beginning at the Old Testament scriptures, going all the way up, he showed them in the scriptures the things concerning him, how he had to suffer this. And as they got ready to enter into town, they constrained him to go in and eat with them. He began to take the bread and bless it. And it says that in breaking of bread, that their eyes were open. Let's read this in Luke chapter 24 and verse 30. It says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened." Now again, this isn't talking about their physical eyes. Their physical eyes had been open the entire time while they were walking. This is talking about the eyes of their heart. This is the same thing that I used earlier in the week talking about Gehazi from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, where Elisha prayed that his eyes would be opened, and all of a sudden he saw into the spirit realm, and he saw the horses and the chariots of fire, the angels of God round about him. His eyes were open to the spiritual realm. Their eyes were open. The eyes of their heart were open. And notice this. It says in verse 31, their eyes were open and they knew him. And the moment they knew him, he vanished out of their sight. You know what? The moment you know God in your heart, the moment you can walk by faith, walking by faith is more powerful and better than walking by sight. The moment you get into where you are walking by faith, you don't have to have sight. You don't need it. Faith is better. And again, I know that this is just different for a lot of people. A lot of people are thinking, "Oh man, I'd give anything if I could just see it and not have to just sit here and believe it." Well, that's an indication of how carnal that we are. And I'm not saying that to hurt, I'm saying it to enlighten. You can get to a place to where knowing something in your heart is better than seeing it with your eyes. Boy, that's powerful. And we're just getting to some really good things. I've got more to share on this, so I'm going to continue this teaching on our program next week.